What if souls were to die today? Would we weep then? Would we weep over their lost condition if we knew they were just dying? Is it not logical that we should start weeping now? Before all hope is gone?
The cry of hell. Not all of you this morning will hear that cry. Not all believers hear the cry from hell. Send! Whatever you do, Abraham, if you can't bring that water to my tongue, if you can't send Lazarus across the great gap, I know the realities of hell too much to know that now I am dumb and I cannot be saved. But whatever you do, Abraham, send somebody home. God sends us. Do you remember what he told Isaiah? In Isaiah 6, when Isaiah was touched by his sinfulness, his inability before God, and God said, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" The triune Godhead, it is his clarion cry, "Send!" It is the cry of Jesus Christ to his disciples as he ascended to heaven to his Father again. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost." But does it not stagger you? That's the cry of the triune Godhead. It is the cry of the Lord Jesus Christ after his crucifixion for the sins of men and women of this world. But it is also the cry of the damned. Send somebody home. Send someone to my five brothers, to my sister, my mother, my father, my child. Send them so that they won't come to this place.
If there is a God, then there is a hell. If the Bible is God's word, then there is a hell. If the Bible is God's word, then there is a hell. If there is a heaven, there is a hell. Jesus taught more about hell than he taught about heaven. He used words such as destruction, damnation, outer darkness, torment. Hell is no joke. The Bible said in Revelation, they shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. That means that there are no furloughs in hell. There's no exits in hell. There's no time off for good behavior in hell. The gatekeeper of hell cannot be bribed, and no one living can pray you 1 second shorter out of hell. Once you're in hell, you're there for all eternity. If you go to hell, you will wish for the day that you could come back to this building and hear this preacher one more time give one more altar call. You'll wish for the day that that friend or that mom or that dad or that relative would say to you, "Won't you go to church with me?" You would wish that you could take that day back. And there will come a day for those who go to hell that they will never see the light of day again. It'll only be outer darkness. Imagine if you laid your head down on your pillow tonight and went to bed with a comprehension that the sun would never rise again. That you would never see sunshine, nothing but darkness 3 days from now, 6 years from now, 20 years from now, 1,000 years from now. No light, nothing but darkness. And that is the description that Jesus gives for hell, outer darkness.
Oh.
Hell will be a place where the demons you allow to rule you in this life will devour you forever unchecked. You to notice something else about hell. The third thing that Jesus spoke of is hell's fire. If you're not saved, you're playing with fire. I don't care if you believe in this. I'm so sick of the modern philosophy that's creeping into the church. Oh, that's barbaric. I cannot believe that you would stand up and say there is a real hell. If you're saying that it's barbaric, I'm saying you're calling Jesus barbaric, because He is the one. He's not uncivilized and barbaric. He's the speaker of truth. The lie's not in Him. He can't lie. And if He said there's a place called hell, friend, let men lie. You see, modern philosophy has gone through heaven and said there is no gold, gone through Jesus and said there is no God, gone through this book and said there is no truth, and gone through hell and said there is no fire. But that's man's philosophy. But there's gold in heaven, there's God in Jesus, there's truth in this book, and there's hell, fire in hell. Let every man be a liar and let God be true. If God Himself walked down the star-studded steps of heaven, and God Himself went to an old filthy barn in Bethlehem, and if God Himself was born of a woman, and then the creation that He made, He allowed to spit on and beat Him and kill Him. If that God was willing to do that, then that sacrifice could only call for the most severe judgment to counterbalance that kind of love. 2 Corinthians 5 and 11 says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's what I'm doing. I've come to persuade men that you need to get right with God. Once you're in hell, you're there for all eternity. You cannot live wrong and die right. If you're living wrong, you're going to die wrong, and you're going to a place that is called hell, according to the Word of God. Listen to this, and I want you to hear me. Paul said, some men's sins are open and have gone on before to judgment. Come on now, listen. He said, some people, concerning their sins, have been open. They confess Jesus as their Savior, and here's the beauty in this line, and their sins have gone on and already been judged. Then he goes on to say, but some men's sins follow them. Now, two kinds of people. There are the people who have made an altar of repentance, and their sins went on before them, and God has already pronounced them clean because of the sacrifice of Jesus. When I get to heaven, there won't be any skeletons from my closet following me, because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. There are some of you who the Scripture says, some men's sins follow them. I want you to imagine going before the throne of God. And you say, oh, they can't follow me. They're secret. Nobody will know. But on judgment day, those sins will come cascading upon you, and they'll fall on you. They'll be all around you standing there. And you'll say, get away. And they'll say, oh, no, we follow you. You didn't repent. You didn't get under the blood. You didn't receive Christ. And so your sins will follow you to the judgment. While others of us will just walk in, and He'll say, what's your right to be here? And I'll say, I knelt in an altar and He saved me, and I sent my sins on ahead. Don't you remember in that altar on Sunday night in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina? I sent them ahead. None of them can follow me. Whew, hallelujah. I feel like shouting right there. See, you'll handle your sins twice. First, when you commit them. And secondly, when you're judged somewhere for them. And those sins will follow you if you don't repent. Once you're in hell, you're there for all eternity. I saw this and it shook me up and I'll never be the same. It's called instant replay. It's called the worm that never dies. And that's your conscience. The conscience. Can you imagine waking up in hell?
How can I walk away from all I once knew? Promises I held on to. Who am I kidding? Who am I fooling? And to think I can live like this.
Can you imagine the touch of eternal death on your shoulder and the stench and the feel of the darkness that I've described to you? And then to hear the roar of the adversary, you're mine, eternally. And the sense of being lost, and this sense of being ever more cast away from the presence of God.
By day, a devil by night. Don't know who I am anymore. So very confused and so conflicted. I just can't take this anymore. Oh, 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 oh. No, no.
I don't think it's in my limited vocabulary. I can't describe to you what's it like for a person to suddenly be in hell. I am in hell. I am lost. Now, if you could say to this person, well, 10 million years from now, you get a week's break, they may endure it. Or they said, this could last billions of years, but at the end, you'll have a little bit of hope. But there's no hope, no other chance. I am in hell. Then suddenly, the worm turns, the conscience, because you will remember every service you've been in, remember every scripture that was ever quoted to you, you will remember every wooing of the Holy Spirit, you will relive it and live it, you will relive my message, the message I preach right now, every message you've ever heard, every radio sermon, every witness you've had, every song that you've heard or sung, everything that had to do with Christ or His gospel. You will replay it. The conscience will turn. That's the worm that never dies. That's the conscience. That's the memory. Oh, yes, there's a memory in hell. You will remember it all.
Living this life, I'm living. I'm letting it all go, and I'm turning around. I hear you calling me, so I'm running back to you.
Every message you've ever heard, every radio sermon, every witness you've had, every song that you've heard or sung, everything had to do with Christ or his gospel. You will replay it. The conscience will turn. That's the worm that never dies. That's the conscience. That's the memory. Oh, yes, there's a memory in hell. You will remember it all. And suddenly, as this worm turns, I believe the worm means that a man will go between time and eternity. He drifts back and forth for quite a while before he realizes what's happened until the worm has finished his work. This worm will turn, and suddenly the lights go on, and suddenly there's light, and he wakes up and he's back in his living room at home. And there's a Billy Graham special on television, and his little girl is playing with a doll, and he can't believe it. He pinches himself. He said, I'm alive. I can't be in hell. And his wife is in the kitchen, and he sees her, and he says, honey, quick, come in. And she's bringing a cup of coffee. See, he said, honey, put the coffee down. Please, on the coffee table, I got to talk to you. I'm having some kind of incredible, I must have drunk something. Something's wrong. I have had a fit. I was in hell. I had a dream. I was in hell. I had a nightmare. Please tell me I'm alive. And she said, you okay? Here, drink your coffee. And he fills the warm coffee. He said, I'm alive. And Billy Graham is saying, come to Jesus. And he says, quick, on your knees. And he gets down on his knees and he's about to cry, Jesus. And he can't get the word out because just as he's about to get the words out and feel the warmth and the peace of the gospel of Jesus flood his soul, it goes dark and he wakes up. He's in hell. He said, it wasn't a dream. I'm in hell. I'm lost. And he said, oh God, never again. Don't send me back into time. A little while goes by and his lights go on again. The worm is turning. This time he's back in church. He's sitting in the same seat that he once sat. And he's reliving a gospel message. He's singing. He's sitting there stunned. He looks around. He said, if this is a nightmare, if someone has put drug in my drink, God, let me wake up. That man screams, God, don't let me go to hell. He's screaming, save me. The preacher's trying to preach. He's screaming at the top of his voice. And he's looking around at him. He's looking at the lights. He's counting the people. He's looking at the colors of their clothes. And he's pinching himself. He's pulling his ears. He's pulling his hair. He wants to feel. And he feels the pain. He says, how can I be dead? Or how can I be eternally dead? How can I be in hell? When I feel the pain, I hear his voice. God, I can't take it anymore. And he runs down the aisle and throws himself on his knees. This time, Jesus, I've got to get through. He gets the word Jesus out and he's about to raise his hands and cry, have mercy, but he can't get it out because it goes black. He says, no, God, I'm in hell. I am in hell. He's got to go all through eternity, reliving every scene until finally it's dragged in. He sits through it, and it's nothing but torment because he said, I wake up in a moment, and there's no relief, and all it is added torment, and all through eternity. Sinner, I'm going to tell you something. Backslider, you walk out on God, you're going to be back in this seat a billion, billion times. Back and forth, back and forth. And never be able to utter the word Jesus. Never be able to repent. Because the worm never dies. Never dies. Thank you. If I were here today and I were you, I would breathe a prayer under my breath not to go to a literal place called hell. Teenagers are hard today. Why are they so hard when you deal with them? Hard at society. When they tell us the second leading killer among college age, the second leading killer among college age in America is suicide. Suicide. You are so Pentecostal evangelistic arsenal of all the years of accumulation of messages. I could have pulled out, coming to Tabernacle of Praise, I could have pulled out some messages, probably 10, 15 messages I have. I've preached in evangelism over the years on heaven. I got messages on heaven that'll take you there. It'll stir that wheel in your soul. Amen. We could begin to shout, and I could preach, man, on those streets of gold and tell you about the substance, what I feel, and the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl. We could talk about that crystal river coming out from underneath the throne of God. We could, man, you and I, a church like this, we'd shout. I'd have to throw the mic, amen, and run all over the building. I could talk about the God the Father, the presence of God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We could talk about the mortal putting on the immortality, what I feel, studying the Word. We've got to understand that hell is just as near as heaven is. Amen. Hell is just as near. And while we're shouting and carrying on about heaven, millions and quadrillions, whatever the number, is there. And zillions more are going. And I'm telling you, they're dropping like flies all around us. We're dancing. We're shouting. We're praising. We're talking tongues. Tongue talking. Interpreting those tongues. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. But people all around us dying, perishing. Families separated for eternity. Sons going to heaven, the daughters going to hell, the mama makes heaven, the daddy goes to hell, all around us. And we're not even messed with. We don't even feel it in the midst many times of our church services. Some of you sleep too easy at night. These are the words of the Master who taught on hell more than heaven. Why in the world did Jesus tell such dramatic stories? Why would He give such vivid pictures? Why? Because it's not His will that any perish, but all come into repentance. For he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Daily. You are so accountable. I'm going to tell you something. If you could see how accountable you are being here this morning, it'd scare the hell out of you. Any hell you had in you, if God would just open your spiritual eyes and let you see, it would scare any hell in you you had out of you. I guarantee it. If you could see it. Listen to it. Man rebels against the wooing of the Spirit. Him waking them up at night. Amen. Him convicting them, even changing the taste buds in their mouth. They don't even enjoy under such conviction the food that they used to love. Sending people from work, at school, wherever, time and time again. Sending preachers through, amen, to preach the uncompromising Word of God. Waking people up all hours of the night to pray for you. And yet you sit still in Zion, comfortable, at ease in Zion. And God is saying you better get right. Folks, listen to me. He's throwing out the net one more time. I'm telling you, it's urgent. This is a surge. There's a surge of the anointing. I can't explain as a Pentecost preacher what I've been feeling for the past couple years. Amen. There's something that's building up inside. I'm telling you, a king's about to step out on the cloud. Amen. And the heavens are going to open up. He's coming. He's coming. And He's throwing out a net.
one more time the largest net he's ever thrown out across the world to pull in more fish than he's ever pulled in. Listen to me. It's urgent that you get right with God this morning. We might not make it to tonight.
Princes and paupers, sons and daughters, kneel at the throne of grace. Losers and winners, saints and sinners.
If you rebel against the Holy Spirit, then what have you done? Listen how I word this. Heaven is tired. Heaven, God want me to tell you, has exhausted itself. There's not four in the Godhead. You'll go to hell in spite of the Father doing all he knew to do. You'll go to hell in spite of the Son coming and giving his life and shedding his blood. You'll go to hell in spite of the Holy Spirit wooing and convicting you and giving the preachers and the people around you what to say to you, to then drive it like a hammer and nail in your heart. You will go to hell because the Trinity has done everything he knows to do. He said everything he knows to say. He's wooed you in every way he knows to woo you. You will go to hell in spite of the blood, with the blood all over your feet instead of your heart, because you chose, instead of to accept it, to trample all over it.
Summer and winter, the mountains and the rivers whisper the Savior's name. Awesome and holy, friends who the lonely, forever His love will.
A lot of jokes going on. You know, there's a world out there. I know this. They don't mess with me at all. They don't hurt my feelings. They don't pray for my feelings. There's a world out there that would rather make a joke of preachers. They'd rather make a joke of Delmer Blaze. They'd rather make a joke of him, talk about him. Amen. Elbow when he walks in the restaurants around here and look at him like, look at that fanatic nut. He's a nut. I'll tell you something. When Noah and those seven got on an ark, there was eight. Majority of the world went to hell. We're going to glean a few, but I want you to listen to me. All this kingdom stuff about the world's going to be saved. Now, I don't know where they get it. So I'm going to tell you something. When Noah got on that ark, eight got on it. The rest of them went to hell. Amen. God said, if I could spare, if you could find 10, Lord, 10, just 10, Lord, tell me. I just want to know, he asked, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? He said, if you show me 10, I'll spare it. But he couldn't even find 10. The majority of them went to hell. I'm telling you right now, broad is the way. Broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be which go in the right, but few. Narrow is the path that leadeth unto eternal life, and few there be that find it. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? I'm going to tell you something. They'd rather make jokes of Delmer Blaze. They'd rather make jokes of Robbie Mitchell preaching like this today. And I want to tell you something. Just say, those preachers, those Pentecost preachers. But some of us, such as Delmer Blaze and I, we are not just preachers. I want to say this to you. We're not just preachers, you preacher talkers. Amen. We're not just preachers. We are men of God, called with the message from God to flee from the wrath to come, that there's a storm coming and you got to get out of darkness into light. Amen. And the cross is God's bridge to pass over hell. I got exciting news. This message isn't negative. It's the most exciting message anybody could ever preach to you. I'm preaching to you today. It surpasses all prosperity preaching and teaching. It surpasses even heaven preaching and teaching. It surpasses any faith preaching and teaching. So I preach those things. What is it? There's a hell, but you don't have to go. A provision has been made. Hallelujah. 2,000 years ago on Calvary. You don't have to go. God don't want you to go. He's for you. The devil's against you. It's tied up 1-1. You gotta make up this morning the 2/3 majority vote that I choose life over death. Light over darkness. In Him was life.
Above all powers, above all keys, and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms.
Ecclesiastes said, I saw the wicked buried, and there was found no place for them. See, what the problem is with you and I as believers, God's got to make us see the wicked dying. Many of us only see the believers dying and going on. Amen. Amen. Just come on now, in la-la land all the time. Come on. God's got to make you see the wicked dying. Some of your daughters, some of your sons that aren't in God, some of your parents that aren't in God. And we're just floating along, telling everybody, I just believe God, I believe God. You better do more than just believe Him. There's been a lot of them die. Why everybody's believing? Listen, we got to get busy and seeking God, getting down, talking, calling their names out. Because Revelation 14, and this is for your cute kid too. This doesn't exclude your little child. Says the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night.
Above all powers. Above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began.
You can't, listen to this, you can't plan out your day of repentance like you plan out a vacation. You can't plan out your day of repentance. Listen to me. Listen to me. You can't outfox God. Stop all this stuff. I get told all the time, well, I ain't living for God now, but when my hormones, you know, calm down one day. I get told that junk all the time. My young people even, Kevin, when my hormones slow down, you know, my peer pressure and all that, then I'm going to come to Him, serve Him. I am really. I'm going to get me a little family and have a baby, husband, wife, and then we're going to settle there and serve God, man. I'm planning it like you planned on going to a vacation next summer. Can't plan it out. You heard Brother Blaze and every other preacher say it, except you come to Him while the Spirit's pulling. You got to understand that scripture instead of just hearing it and quoting it. I understand it. Except you come, there's too much to distract you. There's too much pulling on you. There's too much in this world from hell that pulls on you that the Bible admits is powerful. And unless you come while the power of the Spirit, that is the only thing that can overcome the pull of the power and the pull of the power and the power of the pull of everything around you. Except you come to Him while the power of the Spirit is pulling you, you'll never be able to detach yourself. It's too strong. It's too great. It's too good. The flesh loves it. But if you come to Him while the Spirit is pulling this morning, He's got a way of locking you in, saving you, filling you, hedging you about, putting a spring in your step you've never had before, and a joy in your heart that you've never had before. God, you'll overcome. Only if you come His time, His way, while He's pulling you.
Trampled on the ground, you took thought of me above all.
I gotta be honest with you. The number one reason I wanna go to heaven is I don't wanna go to hell. That's even above seeing Jesus. I don't wanna go to hell. I don't wanna go. I ain't going. I don't wanna go. And I want to tell all of you something. Listen to me. At 38 years old, I've never seen a woman worth going to hell over. I've never met a man, seen him good looking enough worth any of you women going to hell over. There's no amount of money. There's no fame. There's no career. My God, if your job keeps you out of church and you can't ever come and you can't worship and hear the word, get rid of it. We're talking about 30, 40 years of working versus eternity. Don't let anything cool your love off. Anything that cools your love off for God, get rid of it. If it's a relationship, kick it out. If it's a job, walk off. Walk off. It's worth losing everything you got. Don't go to hell. Nothing worth going to hell over.
Rejected and alone, like a rose.
you go to hell, there's nothing but weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Millions of rapists are there, and murderers and homosexuals and child molesters and Christ rejectors and liars and thieves and adulterers and backstabbers and preacher haters and preacher mockers, amen, and unfaithful church people and lack of prayer people. That's the reason they fainted all the time. Puny excuses. These puny excuses. I ain't going to church with them hypocrites. You've heard it before. I'd rather go to church with them than to hell with them any day. I'll sing out the same songbook with a hypocrite. But I ain't going to hell with him. Mr. Blaze, I ain't going to hell with him. And remember this. You let a hypocrite stand what? Between you and God? He's closer to God than you are. He's between you.
It was ungodly. These men were so ungodly, they cursed. It was just awful. And he said, I was going to quit the next day. But the day before I quit, we were in the mess hall, and he was witnessing to a young man. The boy sitting next to him stood up and he said, don't give me any of that Jesus garbage. I don't want to hear it. I don't want anybody to give me this Jesus junk. Just shut up. And he was angry at the very mention of the name of Jesus. The next day, in fact, this boy already had his bags packed. They're out at the rig, and there was an explosion. All 10 of them were burnt severely. 2 of them were killed, burnt to a crisp. Just burnt up. And this young man was burnt over 80% of his body, and he was running away from the fire. And the young man who cursed him said, I don't want to hear the name of Jesus. He saw him laying there, his hands, I mean, he was taco black, and he was called, help, help. And this young man pulled him away from the fire. And that boy was about to die. He was going to die within 3 or 4 seconds. And you know what the last thing he said? In fact, this young man said, Brother Dave, all you could see was the white of his eyes and the blue. Everything else was black. His hands were, I mean, he was just frozen up. And he, you know what the last thing he said? Do I still have a nose? I feel my nose is gone. He died saying, do I still have a nose? And he knew he was dying. Went out into hell thinking of his nose. Only on 20% of his body. He said, Brother Dave, for 3 months, first 2 months, I had visions of hell every night. He said, don't tell me there's no pain in hell. Don't tell me there's no literal fire. God was showing me. He said, God put such a fear in my heart. I know there's a living hell. I know there's an eternal hell. He said, I just tasted of it.
And you know, I never heard hell preach like God showed it to me. But my friend, until God took me down there, you cannot imagine the shock and the reality of what a soul goes when it dies. What then? When the books are open. When the book of eternal life are open before Jesus Christ. And He alone has the power to cast your body and soul, quote, into hell. And again, I say in the fire is not quenched. Mark 9:43-48. A place of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:30. Matthew 8:12 and Matthew 24:5. A place where sinners and unbelievers drink of the wine of God's wrath. Revelation 14:10. A place where the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. Revelation 14:11. And my friends, we must wake up before it's too late. And we all stand before the judgment seat of God. And they say, why didn't she warn us? What did she tell us about hell? Why, oh why, was these things not reported to us earlier? My people, I'm here to thee that I'm sincere with what I say to thee. I'm in my sound mind. I've always been in my sound mind.
Christ's words in our text have a ring of divine certainty about them. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Hell is a real place. Men may laugh and they may make jokes about the existence of such a place as hell. Apostate religion may indeed attack this doctrine, but the doctrine of endless punishment, this doctrine that the lost will be suffering forever, is so solemn that man's natural instinct is either to ignore it, to not think about it whatsoever, or to deny it. But God's word will stand the test of time and eternity and prove that all of these people are nothing more than liars and deceivers. Hell is real. As a matter of fact, the strongest support for the doctrine of hell is coming from the teaching of Jesus Christ himself.
You know, there are no tears in heaven and there are no smiles in hell. There's no sorrow in heaven, there's no joy in hell. I'll tell you who lives in hell. The fearful, the unbelievers, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the liars, they all had their part in the lake which burns with fire. And in verse chapter 22:15 of Revelation it says, without a dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoso loveth and maketh a lie.
In Psalms 11:6, it shall rain fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. That's what's going on down in hell. It's so hot. All these things should kill you, but you don't die from them. You have to keep enduring all these things. But they began to crush my skull. One demon grabbed me and tried to crush my head. And I was screaming and begging for mercy, and no mercy. About this time, they each grabbed an arm and a leg and were about to tear off my legs and arms. And I thought, I can't endure this. And something grabbed me all of a sudden and pulled me out of the cell. I know it was the Lord, but then I didn't know that. I was there as an unsaved person, so I didn't know these things. I just went there just as if I had never accepted the Lord. And I was placed over next to the fire that I had seen. I was standing alongside that pit, and I was beneath a cavern, like a giant cave tunnel going up. And alongside the fire, I could see through the flames just enough to see bodies, people in the fire, screaming for mercy, burning in this place. And I knew I didn't want to go in there. The pain I endured already was bad enough, but the heat and the flame, what I knew was worse. And these people were begging to get out.
Oh, how horrible to behold the torment of these souls. Jesus, I've been here for 40 years since my death. Oh, Jesus, have I not suffered enough for my sins? Jesus said, it is written, the just shall live by faith. All mockers and unbelievers shall have their part in the lake of fire. You would not believe the truth, for many times my people were sent to you to help you, to show you the way, but you would not listen to them. You laughed at them and refused the gospel. You mocked the Lord and would not repent of your sins. My Father gave you chance after chance to serve Him, yet you would not. My life was forgiven for you at the cross, but you would not repent of your sins and live unto God. My blood was shed for your sins that you might be saved from this place, my friend. If only you'd listen to me, Jesus wept. I know, Lord, I know the man cried, but I repent now to you. Too late, said Jesus, the judgment is set.
Missed it. But once you're there, it's no turning back. There's absolutely no turning back. You'd be there lost forever. And you know, you might be saying to yourself, well, I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good person. I don't deserve that place. And you probably are pretty good compared to most people. But that's not what you need to compare to. We need to compare ourselves to God's standard. His standard is so much higher than ours. He says in the Word that if you lie once, just once in your whole life, that makes you a liar. If you stole one thing in your life, a paperclip, a couple minutes of your boss's time, anything, just once, that made you a thief. If you were angry without cause, if you didn't forgive someone that did something wrong against you, if you lusted after a woman, any of these things, if you just did it one time, that makes you a sinner, and you can't make it to heaven. So you see, all of us come short. We all fall short and can't get there on our own works. Titus 3:5 said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Amen. So it depends on how you compare. If you compare, it's like a woman that saw a flock of sheep on a hill, and they were all so white and beautiful against this green hill. She said, look at those white sheep, how beautiful they look, so white. She went to bed and overnight it snowed. She looked up the next morning and saw the sheep, and they all looked dull and dingy and gray compared to the white snow. So we need to compare ourselves to God, and his standard is way higher than ours. So we have need of a Savior. We can't get there on our own. God made it a free gift. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He's the only way out of this place. So if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord, anyone here that has never really asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, you never really came to that point where you had to voice it out your own mouth and say it and ask him to come into your life, would you stand up? If there's anybody here, would you stand up now for Jesus?
To behold the torment of these souls.
Who of us can dwell with everlasting burning? If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out.
Far from the illusion that Satan and his followers will one day reign in hell, God created hell as a place of punishment for Satan and his angels. Satan is aware of his ultimate destiny. Jesus Christ declared that hell, the eternal fire, has been prepared for the devil and his angels. God's word states that Satan knows that he has only a short time, so that he deceives the whole world, desiring to bring as many people down with him as possible. The book of Revelation states of Satan's future, quote, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. God's word declares that they respond to Satan and say, even you have been made weak as we. You have become like us. Your pomp and the music of your harps have been brought down to hell. Maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you, and worms are your covering. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to hell, to the recesses of the pit, like a trampled corpse. Jesus exposed Satan as the father of lies. Jesus said to the lost, you are of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him, for he is a liar and the father of lies. As the father of lies, Satan uses rock stars as salesmen to promote hell as a cool place. Megadeth sings, I am the devil's advocate, a salesman if you will. Come join me in my infernal depths, I've got your soul. Satanist Anton LaVey also wrote about the lie of being able to hang out with your friends in hell in the Satanic Bible. He wrote, "If everyone goes to hell, then you will meet all your friends there. Open wide the gates of hell to greet me as your brother and friend." Ozzy Osbourne, as another puppet of the father of lies, deceptively presents hell to his fans as a fun place.
Well, listen, man. If that's the case, man, hell's going to be a pretty crowded place out here.
Contrary to the father of lies, though, God's word describes hell as a place where God pours out his wrath upon the wicked. God's word declares, "But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render every man according to his deeds. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil." God's word speaks of a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and of raging fire which consumes the enemies of God. Severe punishment, for we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Dr. Maurice Rawlings, a renowned specialist in the field of internal medicine and cardiovascular disease, resuscitated many people who had been clinically dead, some of whom experienced visions of the torments of hell. After the resuscitation of Charles McCaig, both Dr. Rawlings and his patient McCaig immediately turned their lives over to the Lord for salvation.
The strangest thing happened when I would stop resuscitating to put in a pacemaker.
When I came to, Dr. Rawlings said my hair was literally standing on the end and my eyes had already started dilating. And I was absolutely scared to death. I was horrified. I parted lots, not all that bad. They sent me on up to the clinic where Dr. Rawlings was and kept me about 3 or 4 days and then gave me a stress test. On that stress test, I told the girl, Pam, that was running the stress test that I was dying, let me off, and that's the last I remember of that. And when I came to, Dr. Rawlings was giving me CPR, and he asked me what was the matter because I was looking so scared and so forth. And I told him I'd been to hell, I needed help. And he said, "Well, keep your health to yourself. I'm a doctor, I'm trying to save your life. You need a minister for that." As he was giving me CPR, he was trying to install a pacemaker with the other hand and doing it with one. I would fade out. And then he'd start again and bring me back. I watched what was going on, like some people say, us floating in air or up on the ceiling. I was up above it and could look down and see things. And I kept asking, "Please help me, please help me. I don't want to go back to hell." And Pam said, "Well, he needs help. Do something." And at that time, he said, "Say this short prayer after me.
I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
If you'll save my soul and keep me alive, I'll be on the hook for you forever.
And if I die, please keep me out of hell."
And after that, the other experiences was real pleasant. This light surrounded me, and I believe to this day that was the Holy Spirit that surrounded me and took care of me. And I've never felt so good and so safe in all my life.
After all this was over, I realized what had really happened. It was a double conversion. Not only had this make-believe prayer converted this atheist on the floor, it had also converted this atheist doctor that it was working on him. That's the only reason I can appear to you here now, to tell you that there is a life after death, and it ain't all good.
Angus Young has said, "We're saying if you've got a choice between heaven and hell, you might pick hell. In hell, there's a good rocking band and rocking songs. That's what we choose, so hell ain't a bad place to be." Will hell be a good time?
Oh,
Contrary to the father of lies, hell will not be a place of friendship and rock music, but of misery and darkness and isolation. The only thing you will hear from others are their cries of torment. Jesus Christ warned, the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible speaks of the wicked for whom the black darkness has been reserved. Some rock musicians have tried to get their fans to believe that there are no consequences to their sin, encouraging them, like John Lennon, to imagine there is no hell below us. Volcanoes serve as a foreboding warning that the center of the earth is actually hotter than the sun. Dr. Donald Whitaker, who used to party with Ringo Starr, is another example of one who experienced clinical death and the visions of hell.
It was February of 1975. At that time, I was an alcoholic out of control. I was also using recreation drugs, but primarily alcohol was my drug of choice. And I totally was out of control. And I had a lot of friends in the entertainment business, and Hoyt Axton happened to be one of them. Ringo Starr and a bunch of people. And so they were having a TV special on the West Coast. And so Hoyt had called me and asked me if I would like to go or come out. And I told him, yeah, I would love to. And so after about 3 or 4 days out there, I became ill. And by ill, I mean I had a severe pain in my abdomen. I couldn't speak, but I had been laying there in a coma, and I had heard these people talk about how sick I was and how I was going to die. And that night, as I'm laying there in bed, I would begin to fade away. I would begin to fade away, and as I would fade away, I would begin to go down. It was like darkness. It was so dark. I felt untold terror. Untold terror. Because I knew that if I ever went all the way, if I slipped all the way, I would never get back. Now, in my beings of beings, I knew that. And so I fought all night long. They told me later on, I not only pulled the mattress cover off of the mattress, I pulled the mattress up on me because I had to stay. I had to wait. I had to wait till Ron got there. He led me in the sinner's prayer and told me that Jesus had died for my sins. He had died for the sins of the world. I can tell you one thing. There was a peace that came over me like I had never known. I'd search for that peace. I'd search for it in the bottles, alcohol. I'd search for it in needles. I'd search for it in drugs. I'd search for it with women. I'd search for it all types of places. But there was no peace in my life. But once I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was no longer afraid.
Contrary to Sting's video, God's word declares that there is no rest for the wicked in hell. The book of Revelation states, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. Jesus said of the day of judgment, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. God's word says that he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Mr. Ron Reagan also experienced visions of hell while clinically dead.
If you don't get to a hospital, you'll bleed to death in just a few minutes. A young paramedic looked down into my face, and I could barely see him. I was so weak. But he said, sir, you need Jesus Christ. And as he was talking to me, it appeared like the ambulance literally exploded in flames. I thought it had actually blown up. It filled with smoke. And immediately I was moving through that smoke as if through a tunnel. And after some period of time, coming out of the smoke and out of the darkness, I began to hear the voices of a multitude of people screaming and groaning and crying. But as I looked down, the sensation was looking down upon a volcanic opening and seeing fire and smoke and people inside of this burning place screaming and crying. They were burning, but they weren't burning up. They weren't being consumed. And then the sensation of moving downward into this. But the most terrible part of it, I began to recognize many of the people that I was seeing in these flames, as if a close-up lens on a camera was bringing their faces close to me. I could see their features and see the agony and the pain and the frustration. And a number of them began to call my name and said, "Ronnie, don't come to this place. There's no way out. There's no escape. If you come here, there's no way out." I believe the most painful part of it was the loneliness. And the depression was so heavy that there was no hope. There was no escape. There was no way out of this place. And the smell was like sulfur, like an electric welder. And as I'm looking into this pit, this place of fire and screams and torment, I just fade out into blackness. And when I open my eyes, I'm in a hospital room in Knoxville, Tennessee. My wife is sitting by. I didn't know the sinner's prayer. I didn't know the Roman road of salvation. But my prayer was this: God, if you exist, and Jesus, if you are God's Lamb, please, please kill me or cure me. And Jesus Christ became Lord and Savior of my life that morning. And from that moment, I knew that I had to tell the story of what had happened to me. My life was only spared to tell others about the place that I had seen and the hope of Jesus Christ to save mankind from this terrible fate.
God's word says in the book of Revelation, "But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, and the devil was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever." The book of Revelation goes on to declare, "If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." If you refuse to turn to Jesus Christ for eternal life, you too will go to the lake of fire forever. Sadly, like Led Zeppelin, the only thing that you will be able to say is that it's nobody's fault but mine.
Don't go to hell. Please, I beg you, don't go to hell. It was not prepared for you.
If you're saved, you're saved today. If you accept Jesus.
All of these people that in the New Age movement, that believe that everybody's going to heaven, that you can worship anything. You worship a flea, you can squeeze a tree, you can worship a crystal, you can worship the stuff. I got news for them. They're not going unless they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because the Word says the only way to the Father is through the Son.
It's the best thing that ever happened to me in my life.
It's not God's will that people perish. I didn't know this. I didn't know the love of God. All I knew was hatred and violence and abuse. But there's one that cares, and his name is Jesus.
And who is the Son? He's the Word made flesh and came and dwelt amongst men. The Word is the way to the Father.
If you want to have life hereafter, you better accept Jesus.
If you don't know Jesus, you're not saved.
The only real wonder is that you're not already in hell. Just think about the people who have passed into the next life before you. that deserve hell far less and seem just as likely to be alive today as you. And now, their case is closed. Even now, they are crying out from the ultimate pain and despair, a cry for mercy that will never be answered. And here you are, in the land of the living, alive, and having an opportunity for mercy, for salvation, for eternal paradise, being handed you as a free gift. What would those poor, damned, and helpless souls give for the chance that you have? And right now, you have that chance, that opportunity, worth more than all the gold the world can offer. A day where Christ has thrown the door of mercy wide open. And he stands there calling, crying out with a loud voice to poor, helpless, wretched sinners. Let me speak just for a moment to those who are older. Those who have lived a long, full life and yet to this day are not born again. Of all people, you tread on some of the most dangerous ground. Not just because life will likely end sooner than those younger. No. Your case is extremely dangerous because your guilt and your hardness of heart is so greater. Do you see? Even in the midst of some of the greatest revivals, how few of your fellow seniors turn to Christ? It's because of their hardness of heart, not elderly wisdom. You need to wake up yourself. Now, just a quick word to any young men and young women that might be listening. Thousands of your peers are turning to Christ for his free gift. You especially have an unusually rare opportunity. But if you neglect it, it will be but a bat of an eye. And you'll be in the ranks of those who are old and hard-hearted, unable and unwilling to repent. So to everyone that is yet out of Christ and hanging over the pit of hell, young and old, male and female, listen to that voice in your heart right now. As God calls you through his word and his spirit, this acceptable year of the Lord, a day of such great favor and grace to some will doubtlessly be a day of unspeakable wrath and vengeance to others. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Hebrews 3:15. Men's hearts harden each time they hear a message of salvation and turn away. Men's hearts harden with each sin. Yet God seems to be hastily gathering in his elect from every nation in a very special way right now. Once that's done, the rest will be blinded. If that happens with you, you will eternally curse this day. And you will surely curse the day that you were born, because you live in a day and age when God graciously held out his hand of love and forgiveness to you. And you have seen and heard of his free grace. And if you reject it, you'll wish that you had died and gone to hell before you had heard it. Much like the days of John the Baptist, the axe is set at the base of the tree, ready to chop down every tree that does not bring forth good fruit, so that it may be cast into the fire. And that good fruit is to repent. Change the way you think about God, salvation, and the things of God. Stop trusting in your basically good life. Put your trust in Jesus Christ to save you. If you are out of Christ, awake and flee from the wrath to come. Because the wrath of Almighty God is undoubtedly hanging over most who will watch this program. In closing, I offer you this paraphrase of a prayer from Henry Greenwood entitled An Earnest and Zealous Prayer to be Saved from the Damnation of Hell. Lord Almighty God, I am that sinner described in this program, and I recognize that despite my prior way of thinking, you are the source of any goodness, any happiness that's been in my life. And I fall down humbly as a poor, unworthy servant before your awesome and fearful majesty. I have been cut to the heart by what has been said, and I admit my wickedness. I'm not just sinful. As ashamed as I am to come before you because of how sinful I am, in light of your purity and perfection, I also know that I have nowhere else to turn. I can't appeal to my own goodness or to my religion or anything else. I only come on the basis of your mercy. I only come on the basis of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the basis of what he did. Lord, I have heard that he died a painful death to pay for men's sins, and that whoever trusts in him for salvation will be saved. So please, Lord, look at me, not on the basis of what I've done, but on the basis of what he has done. Accept me for his sake. Please, don't punish me, because you've already punished him in my place. Oh God, my heart trembles with uncertainty of it all. If you reject me, I will surely go to hell. Please, Lord, I beg you for pardon and the assurance of that pardon, so that what is left of my life can be now used to serve you instead of rebelling against you. What will become of me if, for my sins, when I die, I'm thrown into that lake that burns with fire? That place where men scream and wail continually, Lord, please, don't deal with me according to my sins and your justice. Please, deal with me according to your endless mercies. Lord, I beg you to look into my heart right now and see the terrors that are in there. Please don't allow my cries for mercy to fall on deaf ears. You are a God of endless compassion. Please don't cast me from your presence. I'm the workmanship of your own hands. My God, I know that scripture says you do not delight in the death and damnation of a sinner. So my only hope is that you will be moved to show pity on me. And I beg you, Jesus Christ, to intercede on my behalf to God the Father. May your Spirit speak to mine that I'm yours. Please, let me know that my name is written in the book of life, and my soul is released from the fearful damnation of hell. And towards that purpose, please, Lord, remove all my sins from my soul. Replace it with those gifts of your Spirit and grace that you so freely give to your children. Give me faith in your promises your love and your majesty, zeal for your glory, obedience to your laws, and guide me daily by your blessed Spirit into all truth and godliness. And Lord, please help me to fall out of love with those things of the world and to hate the little sins as much as the great sins. Lord, please breathe life into me, the life of your Spirit. Give me a heart that is on fire for your truth. Oh, Lord, if I could only hunger and thirst after grace as the deer does over the running stream of water, if I could only say with the writer of the Psalms that I delight in your commandments. I don't just respect them, I love to keep them. Please, make me like that, O Lord. Because I know apart from that, I'm lost, both in this life and the next. I put my life into your hands, O God. You alone are worthy of praise. May you have mercy on my soul for Jesus' sake. Amen.
To find out more about beginning a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, call 1-888-NEED-HIM.